65546-8200. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm not doing too bad.
Bear coming to us.
Overdid it a little bit this morning.
Bear coming to us live from the Bear's Den. You overdid it today, huh?
Yeah, I'm hitting that point where I need to get up and get out and get moving.
Yeah.
And trying to work out some of the soreness.
Do they have any rehab for you that you have to do?
Not really. I mean, not that they told me.
Just heal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it seems strange. Like, I would think they would be like, okay, here are some things. Like, maybe you're not going to, like, 10 reps of this, do that, but maybe here are some things you should do every day. Get up, touch your toes. I don't know, stretch your hammies.
I've got a sheet like that.
Okay.
I mean,
that's good.
I'm supposed to, you know, walk. But I got up and, you know, went out and ran some errands.
Where'd you go?
What do you mean?
Where did you go? What did you do?
I had some things I had to go do. I had, you know, a couple of bills to pay and stopped in at a
local gentleman's club.
Huh?
Local gentleman's club?
Yeah, something like that.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, it's good.
And I had to go get one of those lumbar support things. Nobody wants to hear this, Russ. I had to go get a lumbar support for my back. Back shot. Man.
Those things never work, dude.
I'm telling you, there's one kind that works as far as the car goes. Or at least it works for me.
What kind is it?
It's that roll.
The roll? I hate the roll. The roll's terrible.
No. Keeps that nerve from getting impinged for me. And so I got to drive to Nashville Friday morning.
I like the contour cushion that if you angle your seat just right, it can feel okay sometimes.
Yeah, that's a waste of money.
See, this is the kind of stuff the old guys talk about, Jake.
Give me that hard foam roll.
No,
force you back.
Like a medieval torture device. The roll.
It puts your spine in the proper configuration, for lack of a better word. Yes, this is what we talk about.
Yeah, this is
we're not on there.
This is what you got to look forward to.
Oh, I hurt.
Oh, my back. Oh no. Oh, my hairy back. It hurts. It hurts me.
What's the alleged noise I made out there at OBF? Yeah, I love that one.
Hey, we'll be at Old Ben Franklin Motors a week from today.
They've got a new spot here in town. Have we mentioned that?
Well, they've got three spots. What's the new spot?
Over on Clinton Highway.
That is right.
His Jake's mic is doing the thing, Bear. What does he have to do? Like wiggle the
punch
cord?
Punch in audition.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Out of program, then back into program.
You got that? Try it now. Try it now, Jake Miller.
Hello.
See?
Yeah,
it's 110% better. It's the fan run radio version of Jiggle the Handle.
Yeah, we're the most professionally run show in the market.
Yep, we are.
I see your boy's up to his old tricks down there in Hoover.
Mike Leach, the Pirate, is holding court.
He dispensed with his opening statement by stating, I don't like opening statements.
Never been much of a big opening statement guy, so I'll just answer your questions. Urban Meyer used to do that. Back in the day, one of my crap jobs was I was the guy at the station who had to record and cut up the audio from the weekly SEC coaches teleconference. And this is where I think it's on Tuesdays. Yeah, nobody listens to it. It's a complete waste of time. But at Tuesdays or Wednesdays, every coach calls in and does 10 minutes of question and answer. It's a teleconference. And it'll be hosted by the guy from the SEC office, and the guy from the SEC office will come on and say, up next on the SEC coaches teleconference is Tennessee coach Philip Fulmer. The Volunteers take on South Carolina this week. Coach, if you'd like to have an opening statement, and then we'll take some questions. That's how he sounds, I guess. And then, like, Coach Fulmer comes up, well, we got a big ball game this week. South Carolina, always difficult, blah, 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 blah. And I'll be glad to answer any questions. And then, like, the guy from Arkansas come on, and the guy from Columbia, and they ask questions for 10 minutes. And like I said, totally boring, total waste of time. awful job. But it always tickled me because Urban Meyer was just so – he hated it. All the coaches hate doing it. It's a waste of time for the media. I don't know why they do it anymore. Everybody hates it. Nobody likes it. Nobody uses the audio. Nothing interesting ever happened on – or ever does happen on the SEC coaches teleconference. But Urban Meyer would come on there every week, and the SEC media guy would come on and say – up next on the SEC Media Council's teleconference is Florida coach Urban Meyer. The Gators take on Georgia this weekend. I don't know why I'm sounding progressively more like drunken Yoda, but anyway, Coach Meyer always comes on and says, y'all answer any questions you have. Just not even, I'm not giving an opening statement. I have nothing to say. Just, yeah, I'll answer any questions you have. Just totally ignoring the SEC media guy. It's just like, yeah, just get on with the questions so I can get out of here. Quit wasting my time.
Is he the most miserable prick that's ever coached in the SEC?
I guess so. I mean, I think there a certain level of misery is required to be a successful coach in this league. I don't hold it against him, just like I don't hold it against Saban. They're good coaches. I wish our school would hire Urban Meyer and Nick Saban.
Speaking of Saban, I saw Alabama's up at 90% on their vaccination. It's a shocker, isn't it?
And I also saw where it's the state with the lowest percentage of vaccinated population.
Like per capita.
Yeah, they're 33% vaccination. It's the lowest in the union. And
they should just put Saban in charge of it.
Yeah. Get vaccinated and we're not playing this fall.
Yeah.
You'd see those guys lined up out the clinic doors to get the vaccination if Saban threatened them like that. Oh, yes. Okay, coach. Anything you say, coach.
Yeah, every $40 pickup truck in Alabama would be at the urgent care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got, you know, he could just tell those guys, you know, look, you're going to get the shot, you're not going to play.
So Mike Leach is asked today about his ties to the Tennessee job.
Really? Missed that.
Here's what he said on what happened with the Tennessee job. Quote, I talked to Tennessee. Nothing ever got nailed down. Then they had a coup d'etat. You can sort that out amongst yourselves.
Coup d'etat.
I didn't end up in the middle of a coup, lucky for me. He kind of was in the middle of the coup. He was just, he already had a job. He was in the middle of it, but he did not have any repercussions. I guess he did have repercussions. He didn't get the Tennessee job. He had to stick at crummy Washington State for another year. Another 2 years.
Ended up moving to Starkville. That is a great what if. Because the only thing that would be different right now, if Curry had gone ahead and made that hire, if they'd let that happen, is Leach would be our head coach. We'd still have Tony Vitello, and Curry would be in charge.
Do you remember
we'd be facing 140 level one violations, allegedly?
You remember the guy we had on last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, Matt Wyatt from he played at Mississippi State, and he did the college baseball scholarship documentary.
I think that may have been when I was.
Oh yeah, you were. Yeah, okay. So. Yeah. We talked to this guy. His name is Matt White. He played quarterback at Mississippi State in the late 90s, and now he does radio down there, and he's a really talented video guy. And he made a documentary about the college baseball scholarship thing. And I watched a video that he did about Josh Heupel and kind of breaking down his offense. And he's high on Heupel, right? And Ed says that, you know, he's a good offensive coach, and you just look anywhere he's gone. The offense has gotten really good, really fast, and it's improved every single year. Missouri, UCF, and he thinks that's going to happen at Tennessee. Anyway, he was comparing him to other coaches where the offense always improves when they're there. And I think he mentioned Kiffin and Leach. And I can't remember the other guys he mentioned, but, you know, He put Heupel in that category of offensive masterminds who just
– that's cool.
Yeah, know how to coach quarterbacks and make yards and put up big numbers. And And he said the one thing about those guys you watch is whenever they get a quarterback, he always gets better. You never see what we've seen here where, you know, like JG was even better probably in his sophomore or junior year than he was later in his career. And, you know, Dobbs was about what he was. And we've had guys that just didn't get better, did not develop, right?
Right.
And that doesn't happen when Heupel and Leach and other, you know, so-called quarterback gurus, Lincoln Riley, when they get a hold of you, your numbers go up every year. And so, I mean, we've talked about this with Mike Leach in the parallel universe of Tennessee football, right, where we're getting ready for the fourth year of the Mike Leach era. And it's hard to say what our defense would look like. It's hard to say what the win totals would look like. I don't think anybody doubts that we'd be better off than we are now. We wouldn't be coming off a 3-7 season mired under a cloud of NCAA probation and all that stuff. We would be in a better position. How much better? I don't know. What's the ceiling under Mike Leach? I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. But there'd be no doubt that, I mean, the conversation would be different. We wouldn't be talking about 6-6, Bear, right? We'd be talking about 8-4 is the floor. 9-3 should be more realistic. And the possibility of a 10-win season is not a pipe dream like it is now.
No, and we honestly to be fair and to be honest about it, we also might be, you know, he might be on the hot seat going into this year. I mean, going into his fourth year, there's no telling.
Yeah, he might say something stupid that gets him fired, or, you know, he might step in some sort of minefield that's just completely his own doing, right? But
yeah,
his third year at Texas Tech, he went 9-5. His fourth year at Washington State, he went 9-4 after going 3-9 the year before. So year three, year four is usually where he gets it rolling.
Right.
And we would be in year four. So Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question of the day for you. Be honest with me now. Where would you rather be? Where we are now with an unknown in Heupel who might have a higher ceiling than Mike Leach, but it's going to take some time. And we've got the NCAA stuff, and that ain't going away. Or would you rather be in year four of the Mike Leach era with John Curry as your athletics director and no NCAA scrutiny around you, but you do have goofy Mike Leach? Your offense is definitely going to be fun to watch. Who knows what your defense is going to be?
You're not going to have much of a defense. We're going to be throwing it 70 times a game. I mean,
they had a pretty good defense at Washington State when he left there with Alex Grinch calling the shots. They were top 20 national defense.
I think this is going to be like an 80-20 kind of deal. I mean, nobody in their right mind would
want to be where we are.
Yeah.
Well, the question is John Curry forgiven after Shiano Sunday if he trolls out, you know, Mike Leach that Friday?
That's a good question, Jake. I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so. John Curry had a lot of baggage. People forget. I mean, he, you know, during his first go around here, he had pissed people off. I mean, for God's sakes, he got Chris Lowe mad. I don't think Chris Lowe's ever been mad at anybody. He pissed him off.
Chris Lowe was mad at John Curry?
Yeah.
For what?
Remember that?
No.
Some deal, something went on at maybe the SEC tournament or something. You got to really look at if you're pissing off Chris Lowe, you got to really take a long, hard look at yourself.
Well, I mean, what was worse? Being the Haslam's puppet and taking us down the Shiano Sunday route, or what Fulmer did?
Shiano.
Yeah, you had to think about it though, didn't you?
Not for long. I was setting my water down. Nah,
I got to think about it. I mean, we've never had the NCAA on campus like this before. This is
no, but I mean, you've got to be out of your damn mind. If I could figure it out, in 30 seconds with a simple Google search, you got to be out of your mind to get that far down the road with Shiano.
Jake, where would you rather be?
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. I
like, I'm sitting here trying to come up with an answer for you, and it's like, okay, well, if this happens and there's a possibility of this, but then we got Josh Heupel here and this could happen. I don't know, man. That one's tough.
I'm kind of leaning towards Leach and Curry because –
Yeah, but you're a known Leachite.
Well, I mean, I like
that. You wanted him bad.
I like him from the entertainment perspective. I think most people do, and it's easier when to laugh at him when he's not your head coach and you're not losing to Arkansas or whoever you lose to. But I honestly don't think – I mean, I think we would be – Tennessee, they'd be talking about us being an 8 or 9 team and a dangerous team, somebody nobody wants to play, including Alabama, Georgia, and Florida.
Sure. Now we would absolutely be getting. We'd probably upset one of the big. You know, hell, maybe even Alabama. With Mike Leach, you're going to beat somebody you're not supposed to, and you're going to lose to somebody that you have no business losing to. That was my big issue with him. That, and I was just more realistic about it. You guys got all caught up in how much fun it'd be to cover him, and lost sight of the fact that Tennessee fans would go nuts. If we weren't where we Tennessee fans thought we were supposed to be, and he does his Mike Leach routine like he did today, you know, or pulled the stunt where he decided to go to Thailand for 3 weeks and when it wasn't a recruiting dead period in the spring. I mean, the guy's a wacky dude, man. I don't know. That's a great smoking hot question. But I still think nobody in their right mind would pick where we're at right now.
The year after Shiano Sunday, 2018, Pruitt's first year here in his next-to-last season at Washington State, he went 10-2, ascending as high as number 7 in the country at one point. His only losses were a 3-point loss at USC, and then he lost 28-15 at home to then – number 16, Washington, and Chris Peterson. Pretty good season for anybody, but particularly at Washington State. I mean, they haven't had that kind of success except for maybe that one year with Ryan Leaf that they were pretty good.
Well, it's not easy to recruit there either.
No.
I don't know. I've never liked Leach, but I've always been pretty upfront about that. I don't like him going all the way back to when he was at Kentucky.
Yeah, but you don't like anybody. I mean, like, let's be honest. Like,
that's
not true. For people, it is true. You don't like anybody.
No,
it's okay. That's part of your shtick. Well, who do you like?
No,
who do you like?
Shtick.
Who do you like?
You.
Who do you like that has no ties to the University of Tennessee?
That has no ties to the University of Tennessee?
I
hate his guts, but, you know, I gotta.
No,
you gotta,
who do you like? That's not the question. Is who do you like?
I always like Chris Peterson. Let's see.
We've only got 3 hours.
It's hard. I mean, in basketball, I always liked Billy Donovan.
Well, no, you didn't. You used to call. What did you call? You called him
Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster. And you said that Juwan Smith slept with his wife, and you said that.
No, I didn't.
That
I said
Chris...
Juwan Smith told him that he was going to bury that three, beat him, and then he was going to take his wife out for dinner.
Oh.
It wasn't me who said that.
It's a subtle difference.
Allegedly, it's what Juwan Smith said to him coming down the court. Billy Donovan hated Juwan. I mean, we could sit here all day. I mean, I always liked Coach Switzer. Mushmouth down there at Florida State. Bobby Bowden.
Who got some very bad news today.
Did they ever say what he's got, or is he just old?
They never said.
He's 92, and he had a really bad – he was hospitalized with COVID last year, and apparently he's just never recovered. And the family announced today that he has a, quote, terminal illness. So it sounds like he's living out his final days.
That's sad, but what'd he say? That he was at peace?
Yeah. 92 years old, hell of a run. Legend of the game.
Hall of Fame.
Life well lived. So there's plenty of people I like, Russ. I like you. You've got wonderful kids, a great family.
Thank you. But
I feel like there's a but.
But to it. I mean, I like Chance. John Reed, love John Reed. Cody McClure. We just talking coaches or?
Well, yeah. I mean, like sports figures. All right, tell you what, we'll take a break. You come up with some more guys you like. So far, you've had Chris Peterson, Bobby Bowden, and
you,
and Billy Donovan.
John Robinson.
John Robinson?
Joe Gibbs. Mike Ditka.
Bear guys. Tough guys. Sure. Football coaches.
And NASCAR owners.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Home of the best ribs in the...
Pick up today.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Tony Vitello meeting with the media for a postseason in-person press conference over at the campus of the University of Tennessee. I wish they would have made this thing start at noon. We could have gone to that. I will go to a Tony Vitello press conference. Coach making some news today says it looks like Luke Lipschitz and Redmond Walsh, along with Evan Russell, will return for their COVID senior seasons next year. That's huge.
That is huge.
We get Luke back and Redmond Walsh, veteran arm, veteran left-handed arm. You know how Tony loves his left-handed pitchers. Huge pickup.
He likes lefties.
Yeah, he does. Huge pickup. Huge news for the Volunteers. We break it down this afternoon. Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Would you rather be entering year four of the Mike Leach era at UT than where we are now? 36 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Very early, 1% of precincts reporting. 72.2% of the audience says yes.
Yeah. It's not going to be like yesterday's, bro.
See,
where'd yesterday's end up?
I'll have to go back.
We
and
got
look.
It. We got to start checking back on this stuff, Russell. I kind of feel like you're kind of letting the audience down. To tell you the truth,
anybody can go look at it. It's on Twitter.
It was 50-50 the last time I checked.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm not talking about last time you checked, Russell. What are the final poll results?
I don't know. Well, you've got a phone in your hand right now. Just go look it up, bro.
Give me 10 seconds.
I'm playing golf.
All right. You're what?
Playing golf.
You're playing golf?
Where?
Yeah. On my phone.
All right. Well, if you don't care enough to close out of your stupid golf game and go check Twitter for yourself, then don't act like it's a big deal that we should address on the show. I'm a little bit surprised because I thought that this is usually the point in the season, right? After SEC Media Days, when we see our guy, our coach, our players down there answering all the questions, this is usually the part of the summer where folks start talking themselves into it a little bit. And they start feeling a little bit better. Oh, we're going to be a little bit better than we are. And feeling themselves a little bit. I might give the slight edge to Leach. But I thought it would be a little bit closer to that 50-50 threshold. But again, it's early. We'll see. It's already down to 67-33. We'll see if it circles back a little bit here. There's still time to vote on that poll from yesterday, Bear. 569 votes cast. What will happen first? Vols win the East or there's a man on Mars? 52.4% say man on Mars. 47.6% say Vols win the East. So there you have it.
All right.
Mars.
Thank you.
If you had to go, you don't want to go to space, right? That was your deal?
Yeah, I'm not going to space.
It's a final now. Just went final like 2 seconds ago. Man on Mars wins 52.4%. If you had to go, you said, Bear, you have to go. It's for the good of the country.
It's for I'm the not good riding of, the Amazon rocket.
The good of you, I mean, you go on the plane over the rocket?
Nope. NASA.
Well, I mean, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between NASA and these billionaires. Their bubblegum put together rockets they've got.
Well, so far the billionaires are 100%. I don't know if you've heard, but NASA's had a few accidents over the years.
Let's see how they do over the course of 30 years. And what? They've only gone suborbital. Let's not act like these guys are, you know, doing anything that big of a, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the billionaires, they're pumping their money into it. It's their lives on the line. I'll kind of lean towards them versus the federal government, who doesn't really give a damn whether or not I come back alive or not. I'll go with the people that actually have the skin in the game.
He's got a point.
He doesn't have a point. He's an idiot.
Ad hominem attacks this afternoon. What do you? I would rather go in the plane. I'd rather go in Branson's thing. I don't know, man. There's something about a rocket. I know it's probably not any safer statistically, but it's just something, a plane ride. Oh, yeah, I'm going on a plane as opposed to I'm in a rocket launch. give me the plane ride, bro. All right, 865-546-8200, your number. You want to get on the show, 546-8200. Let's go to the phones. Phil is up first today. Good afternoon, Phil.
What do you say, David?
What's up, Philly?
So what's this question you got for today?
Where would you rather be? Year four of the Mike Leach era at Tennessee or where we are now?
Year four of the Mike Leach era. We wouldn't have gone through a coaching change.
What do you think?
Probation.
What's the ceiling of the Mike Leach era at Tennessee, Phil?
He might win the East there once in a while, but I mean, let's be real, we haven't done nothing in football in 20 years.
Well, I mean, that's what the conversation we had with you yesterday. You said all you want is a top 15 team, and if we're winning the East every once in a while, I'd say that's probably what you have, right?
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, as long as Saban is at Alabama and Meatloaf's at Florida and Kirby's at Georgia, we're not going to do anything.
See, I could see
– we got to play with third place.
I could see Leach beating Mullen head-to-head. I could see that. I can't say that I see him beating Saban head-to-head ever, whether it's Mississippi State, Tennessee, Georgia, whatever.
But we just got to hope old Heupel can build our program back, you know. Sooner he gets a good quarterback, we'll at least be competitive.
Are you encouraged by what you saw and heard out of him yesterday, Phil?
Well, yeah, sort of, but, you know, I'm about punch drunk now for watching Tennessee football. I just can't wait till Tennessee basketball and Catholic basketball crank back up and see some real winning. Might be some choking going on the hill, but at least they're competitive and play the big boys. Tennessee football can't play with the big boys now. We can pretend all we want to. We haven't played big boys since, early 2000s.
I like how we're recruiting under Barnes now like we were under Fulmer in the late 90s, where it's we just go anywhere. It's nice to have in-state players, but if there's a five-star in California, we're going to go get him instead. We'll just get the best players we possibly can.
That's true, but, really, Fulmer's recruiting is overrated because he won for Rodney Garner. He wouldn't have won anything.
Yeah, but I mean, there's something to be said for that, right? I mean,
you gotta get these hired guns.
You gotta surround yourself with elite recruiters so you can surround yourself with elite talent. Saban understands that.
No, I just hope Ronnie Garner's got the same hunger that on the recruiting trail that he had. What was there 25 years ago?
Well, the test is going to be with this Walter Nolan kid. If we get him, and I'm watching that recruitment like the Vince McMahon gif. I don't know if you've seen this, Phil, where he's just kind of looking on curiously, interested, but not necessarily hopeful. If they're able to get him, five-star defensive lineman, one of the top three or four prospects in all of the country, then to me that says yes. Rodney Garner does have the hunger that he had when he was a younger man back here in the mid-90s.
Well, isn't Nolan's handler going to be at whatever high school he goes to in Knoxville?
That's the rumor.
So don't you think? There's a chance, or what's the family situation with Nolan? Anybody know?
I mean, we need to get Marlon Walls to Powell High School as quickly as we can. What can we get this guy, Bear? I'm thinking a $70,000 Maserati from over there, Parkside Drive, maybe a new Range Rover or something like that. We get him set up, get him taken care of with the nod, nod, wink, wink, hint, hint.
You don't even have to do that anymore. Just set him up with these name, image, and likeness deals at the.
No, I'm talking about Walls. I thought we take care of the handler first, so that we get him, and then we get Nolan. What we gotta? I mean, we just have to outbid everybody at that point.
Yeah, you just get Mercedes and Knox. We'll get him a G-Wagon.
Is it true that the speak about Nick Saban and? Jimmy Sexton, the firm that Jimmy Sexton has in is representing Bryce Young. Is that true?
Yeah, he signed with CAA.
Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Apparently not. I mean, he can sign
with
whatever.
Alabama, they're going to be bad then.
No. That's why I'm not even – I mean, this is exercise in futility.
I really think this NIL is going to blow up and it's going to be accelerate to the end of college football and just go big boy league only in your conference. I think that's eventually what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the dam is about to break, and the current system is unsustainable. The NCAA has not shown any sort of willingness to roll up its sleeves and fix what needs fixing. And anytime there's any issue – that is in any way difficult, they just, conferences, do what you want to do. We can't do this. COVID testing, you guys do what you want to do. We can't do this. What about your basketball tournament? Can we administer that? No, you can't touch that. Yeah. You can't touch that. No, we've got that. We've got that. It's like, oh, okay.
One more thing, Debbie, is how good of a football thing is West going to have this year?
It should be pretty good if Powell and the other less upright and virtuous schools in the region will stop raiding our roster. We should be pretty good. But
who's raiding your roster?
The running Rebels would be fine. We'll be all right. It's a talent pool
gonna,
over there, man.
Y'all going to play the Fighting Irish with their freshman quarterback and get beat again? See.
I don't know who's on the roster or what the schedule is, Philly. I don't know. You're going to catch us when we have like half the team out due to COVID contact tracing. We're playing like a one-armed band geek at quarterback and a couple of cheerleaders at receiver.
We're going to take a shot at the band geeks.
I'm just saying. Don't want any of us when we're full strength. All I hear from the choir, the altar boys, is, nobody wants to play us. Nobody wants to play us. And West is like, yeah, we'll play. What's up? And it's like, we won't play you because you guys, a couple guys have COVID. They can't play. Okay, we'll play you anyway. You guys end up winning by like 3 points. It's like, oh, we beat you. It's like, oh, here come the altar boys beating their chest.
Well, you got to tear ass in the Catholic right now.
Because they're fakes. They're phonies. They're frauds. I'm tired of it. Tired of y'all coming in here beating your chest, act like you done something. Every time you have to step to a real program, you end up getting it handed to you, and you blame it on the officials. You blame it on recruiting. You blame it on the, oh, we had starters out too. We didn't have enough transfer prospects. Our big lineman from Russia, 6'8", 400-pounder, was, I don't know, he's academically ineligible that way. It's always something with you guys. Excuses.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, Russ.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Jets Pizza and Farragut is West Knoxville's home.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. You got to drive for a minute up I-75 to Caraville and Cove Lake State Park, but it is well worth it. About a 20, 25-minute drive from downtown Knoxville up I-75. Exit 134 there on your right. Can't miss it. Cove Lake State Park, right in the inside entrance there to the park. You go in there, tell them Fan Run sent you. They'll take great care of you at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Today's smoking hot question: would you rather be entering year four of the Mike Leach era at Tennessee than where we are now? 61.3% of the audience says yes. They'd rather be under the spell of the Pirate. 38.7% say no. They're riding on the hype train. Plateau Vol on Twitter says, I'd rather have fake Bobby Hill than fake Vince Gill. Huh.
But he does kind of look like Vince, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does a little bit. I feel like Vince Gill would make a better football coach than Bobby Hill, though. As a matter of fact, I don't feel like it. I know it.
If it were Hank, it'd be a different story. But
maybe,
it's Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. Hank, if you can sell propane and propane accessories, you can recruit. I mean, there's just no two ways around it. It's Holiday for QB says, Heupel has won 10 or more games two times in 3 years as head coach. Leach has won 10 or more games two times in 18 seasons. I'll take my chances with Heupel. Yeah, I don't think that's fair. I think that's a little bit misleading because you got to figure in the jobs into that. I do see the point. Now, the one thing I will say for Heupel, and I think this will work to his advantage, if we're saying that Heupel and Leach are very similar in terms of the way they develop quarterbacks, the way they call plays, the way they operate schematically, then I think Heupel will actually have an advantage over Leach. And this might be a little bit counterintuitive, but I think Heupel's personality of just being, you watch him yesterday. I'm not going to say anything outrageous. I'm not going to give you any juicy quotes or anything. I'm just going to come out here and do a little coach speak and shake a few hands and get on out of here. Lay low. That's his style. Whereas Leach is just say whatever thought happens to cross his mind, with whether there's a mic in front of him or not. I think that'll help Heupel more. I think the reason Mike Leach hasn't gotten an opportunity at a place like Tennessee is because he's been so controversial. If he had been more buttoned up, if he'd been more conservative in the presence that he projects to the media, somebody would have plucked him out of Texas Tech. Big school would have given him a chance a long time ago.
Well, he had that whole deal with, didn't he lock Craig James' kid in like a shed or something?
Allegedly, I don't know. I don't think the James family came off very good. But he got.
No, nobody did in that situation. But
he got in a prolonged legal battle with Texas Tech. And he was a goofball down there. He was a goofball down there. He's a goofball at Washington State. He's a goofball at Mississippi State. He wouldn't have been a goofball here at Tennessee. Josh Heupel's not a goofball. You can say what you want about him. The fact that he does look like a grown-up version of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill has nothing to do with his actual personality.
Hmm.
That's just a thing that dumbasses like us say on the radio.
Yeah, or his coaching ability. I still don't really see it, but.
What, the Bobby Hill thing?
Yeah.
You don't see that? How can you not see that? I feel like you've said you've seen that before on the show.
No.
Don from Sweetwater is next. Hello, Don.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Just sitting here getting ready to take my grandson to basketball practice and just hoping I'd get on before I had to leave. Couple things. The three-star watchers are probably very disappointed today.
Yeah.
Since 247 bumped that tight end of our commitment of ours to a four-star.
Brady Foley out of Cincinnati.
Yep.
Now a four-star tight end commitment. He's already become that much of a better player, I understand. It's pretty fantastic.
Yep. And I'd say there's some more on that list that might get that bump before it's over. So we're in on we're in the final 10 with another big stud defensive lineman out of Alabama, I see. I don't know. There might be a whole lot different looking list in December than there is in July. So we'll see how that all goes. You said that Coach Heupel didn't say anything controversial, but according to the people at Central Florida, he did.
Central Florida, they got their panties in a wad.
Oh, they've got, you know, but those people, me and you were having a discussion about one of your callers the other day and what he meant, but they do have a listening comprehension problem at Florida State because the question that was posed that he answered about what was the difference now that, you know, he had one head coaching job at UCF, now he was at Tennessee. And I thought it was very logical, everything he said. And they're down there saying he claimed to have built Central Florida. That's a reading or listening comprehension problem. But that's not what he's saying at all. He said that you always learn and grow with every stop, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. And basically had the opportunity to build a program from the bottom. He's talking about Tennessee, not Central Florida. Are they really that ignorant down there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll say this for Heupel. I have not detected – Butch Jones had that whole thing where he wanted to act like he had been this huge builder of programs at Cincinnati and Central Michigan, and anyone with half brain – plainly see that he was just following Brian Kelly from stop to stop, and he was clearly very insecure about that, and it was just it was easy to see. I don't get that from Heupel. It doesn't mean he's going to be good here, but I haven't seen anything where he's beat his chest about the great job he did at Central Florida. He knows, everybody knows, that he took over Scott Frost's program down there and that it would be disingenuous to act like he built it up. So I have not detected any of that kind of stuff from him.
No. And you know, like I said, the whole point I was trying to make is both the media and fans on Twitter, et cetera, just reading some of what they had to say, I'm like, are you people really that dense? I mean, you are because you're in Florida. But I'm like, he is in no way indicating that he built Central Florida from the bottom up. He's talking about the opportunity to build Tennessee from the bottom up. Because it all rolled right into all the NCAA, blah, 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 blah kind of stuff that he was answering. So they're fixing to find out let's just wait and see what happens the next 3 years with their head coach down there. They don't get out of the 60s in recruiting. I think Dillon Gabriel's going to find out his days are setting. Passing records has probably come to an end down there. Even with Frost, who's done nothing since he went to Nebraska, if he had lost McKenzie Milton halfway through the season like Heupel did the following year, I got a feeling they wouldn't have been 13-0 without McKenzie Milton. So people might want to comprehend that. I don't know how it's going to work out, guys, any more than you all do.
No.
But I do know this. The man knows football, or he couldn't have had the positions he's had in the past and had the offensive numbers.
You know, the stats jump that Missouri took before he got there to when he got there to when he left, like that stat trend to me is maybe the most encouraging thing about him. Like if I'm looking for things to get excited about, that's almost more encouraging than anything he did at Central Florida to me is
oh, sure.
what he did at Mizzou.
Yeah, and I guess the biggest thing that he did at Central Florida was the fact that he could lose Mackenzie Milton and come up with Dillon Gabriel. When we're talking about what can he do with the quarterbacks on our staff, I mean, on our roster, I don't think nobody too many people knew Mackenzie Milton. I don't think too many people knew Dillon Gabriel. You know, if you look at Dillon Gabriel, you look at his size and everything, and his, quote, star recruitment and everything, there was no indication he was going to come out and play like he did. So that is, you know, kind of what I'm kind of, I guess, leaning on and looking down the road and with hope. I believe that, you know, when you look at the potential, and that's what it is, our running backs, wide receivers, and even though, and you know, our line last year was just, you know, whatever it was, but they had no coach.
No.
But offensive line.
Don, we got to run, man.
All right, bud.
Thank you for the phone call. Quick timeout. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.